Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 60 in the series, entitled The Delusion of Ego, recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, on the 21st of Shvat, 5759.
Page 54, Dav Chav Zayin Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. In the previous classes, we came to discover that the sense of separateness, which characterizes our existence, is created as a consequence of the concept called Tzimtzum, contraction. If that symptom would not exist, if that contraction, constrictions, concealments of the divine creative energy, the divine speech, as it is called, would not exist, we would not only not perceive ourselves as egotistical realities, as autonomous beings, divorced, separated from Hashem and godliness, but furthermore, we would not perceive ourselves as realities, period. Not only would we not perceive ourselves as egotistical realities, as independent, self-contained, self-oriented, self-directed realities, we wouldn't perceive ourselves as realities per se. Why is that? Because essentially the world and the universes are created from Hashem's dibur, from one dibur. Furthermore, sometimes we talk about Basar Ma'amaris Nivra Elam, the world was created by 10 utterances. Sometimes we talk about it being created by one letter. The Gemara says in Menachos, Ki Biyutke, quoting the pasuk, Ki Beka Hashem Tzur Elamim. Hashem as the creator of the universes is defined as Yudke, Zog de Gemara, Biyud Nivra Elam Haba, and Behe Nivra Elam Haza. So the letter He, which is a symbolic of a certain type of energy of Hashem, created Elam Haza, this physical world, and the Yud created Elam Haba. Now compare what is that one letter relative to Hashem's overall infinite creative power, to Hashem's thought process and to Hashem's intimate self, that one letter is utterly insignificant and valueless. And that constitutes the universe and everything that's contained within it. And this is the meaning of Kula Kamei Kiloi Choshev. Everything Kamei, Kamei means from his perspective, in relationship to him, from his point of view, from his point of reference, is Kiloi Choshev. It exists, he creates it. But it's kalei chashev, it's as if it would be non-existent. As if it would not exist. It has no chshivus and tfisas makom whatsoever. Now, in the human condition, that is true as long as the letters, as long as the words are included within his being. But the moment he speaks them, he utters them, they leave his own space, and then they assume a significant identity. In Hashem's case, relays asar ponimine. There is no space devoid of him. So there is no condition where the words have left him. Rather, even after the words have actualized a creation of the universe, they are still included within his all-pervading, within his intimate essence. And therefore, even in that level, in that realm, is kula kamei kelei chashev. So if we realities would be would be aware of this very fact, not only would we not perceive ourselves as egotistical realities, but not as realities whatsoever in our own eyes. Hashem, however, wanted that the worlds and the realities should perceive themselves as realities, hence the Tzimtzum. The Tzimtzum A creates the perception that the Dibur becomes separated from its source. So even in the highest world where they're aware constantly of their source, they can make a differentiation between the words uttered and the speaker. And therefore they're significant. Because the Dibur creates them, and there is chshivos to that. But this Tzimtzum goes a step further. In our world, the Tzimtzum is so strong, not just to allow us the perception of a significant reality as a projection of godliness, but it allows us the perception of a reality divorced from godliness, of an egotistical reality. And for this, the Tzimtzum has to be so much greater, not just to conceal the total unity between the speech and the speaker, but also to conceal the very speech. The very fact that we, our whole essence is the Dibur. So the Alter Rebbe in Perek Chav Beis began describing how the Tzimtzum in this Dibur is so powerful that it can create creatures that might intellectually know that they come from somewhere. They might have the ability to meditate on it and so forth, but they don't feel it, they don't experience it. They're not intuitively in tune to that reality. Furthermore, the Tzimtzum can be so powerful to allow this Dvar Hashem to create beings and creatures that outrightly deny the very energy that is creating them at the moment that they are denying that energy. Ad kedei kach. So what happens is as follows. The world has no reality independently of Dvar Hashem, of Hashem's creative energy. But this energy contracts and gets obscured so deeply that it can create a reality which can come to perceive itself in its own perception and its own illusion as something totally divorced of Hashem's creative energy, totally in opposition to it, totally in denial of it. This is the reason he said that the realms of negativity are called Elohim Acherim. And the deeper Hasidic interpretation for that is because they also receive their nurture from Elohim. But from which dimension of Elohim? From Acherim, from his hind part. From his Achirayim. And the metaphor of the hind part is him not imbuing them with energy in a willful fashion. Something which is a projection of his inner essence, volition, enthusiasm, identity, but rather it's like you're throwing something to your enemy, you throw it over your shoulders, you don't even want to look the man in the face. Which means they are not an end goal in themselves, rather they serve a certain end, and for that end, they are necessary, these realms and energies. So the point being, that this energy, this Dvar Hashem, it creates everything. And not only it creates everything, it sustains everything every single moment. And the world has no reality whatsoever independent of the Dvar Hashem. As explained at length in earlier shiur, the whole concept of Yeshmiyayin, something from nothing, and so on and so forth. Which is the primary and first explanation for the concept of Achdus Hashem, according to the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, the true unity of Hashem. You'll ask the question, there are so many things in the world that totally are not conscious of that. We ourselves can learn about it, can understand it, but we certainly don't experience it. And then there are those realms that fight their whole life, they're in war with this, in their behavior, in their theology, in their philosophy, in their day-to-day conduct and relationship and so forth. And they themselves at that moment are also coming from Dvar Hashem. And they themselves at that moment have no reality outside the Dvar Hashem. But the Dvar Hashem, the divine creative energy which forms their character and sustains them at that moment, is so deeply obscured and so much concealed as a result of Hashem's will, that it creates a reality, and that concealment allows that reality to entertain the illusion and delusion of an autonomous, independent reality to the extent of outright denial of its source and its true energy. And Alter Rebbe discussed the details, the interaction between the creative energy and the realms of Klipa, which we discussed last week, that the main interaction between these two realms is a makivdika one, an encasing and encircling one, hence allowing for an inner identity which is in opposition to it. And even that little pnimius, that little energy which does become internalized within them because they have an internal identity also, is totally in a state of gullus within them, in a state of captivity and exile where it's not being expressed, its vision is not being expressed. Now let's continue inside. Does the neshama partake in the tzimtzum? The neshama has its own set of tzimtzumim. But we're not now talking about the neshama. The Zayat in Kabbalah and Chassidus has explained the concept of the 7 or 9 month pregnancy. So there are the obvious medical and scientific explanations for it. From the Jewish mystical perspective, the neshama cannot immediately come into this universe. The 9 months of pregnancy symbolize is the physical manifestation and embodiment of a spiritual pregnancy, of a spiritual evolution, where every single day the neshama descends another level from the higher spiritual worlds to the lower worlds until it is capable of actually entering into a full-fledged body and assuming an identity in this physical mundane universe. It's a very drastic metamorphosis for the neshama. Because the neshama, you see, essentially we're very spiritual beings, we're very sacred beings. I know we don't perceive ourselves that way, but from the Alter Rebbe's perspective, we're very extremely, a person is essentially spiritual, not coarse. He writes elsewhere, what's the reason that a baby cries right when it leaves the womb of its mother? So again, there are the physiological reasons and so forth. He says the baby comes, the neshama comes into the physical universe and has no choice but to shed a few tears. No, when the neshama is in the womb, it's in the physical universe, but that itself is already a major descent. But it's still sheltered, and the ambiance is a very spiritual ambiance. The Gemara says in Nida, the Gemara describes in Nida, the Tanya begins with that Gemara. So if Perigimul the Nida, that the state of the child in the womb, where they teach you the entire Torah, Ner Dalakareshim, Lamdin Isakala Taira Kula, and so forth. So the ambiance is a pretty spiritual one, it's a sheltered one. It knows only of love and compassion and empathy if the circumstances are healthy and so forth. So the neshama has its own set of tzimtzumim. Here the Alter Rebbe is addressing the tzimtzumim that Hashem imposes, so to speak, on the Dvar Hashem. Now the interesting thing is that in Hashem's world these tzimtzumim don't exist because they come from Him. So they come from Him. So from His perspective, these tzimtzumim don't exist, which means not only from His perspective everything connected constantly to the Dvar Hashem and never assumed an independent reality, but furthermore the Dibur never left Him. So therefore, kula kamei kalei chashev. Is that why la'asid lavei birth will be immediately? Yes, that's one of the reasons that's brought. Because the world, the inner identity of the world would be revealed and sublimated, so the tzimtzum that's needed for the drastic transition would not be required. at least to such a sharp degree. If Avodah Zarah receives energy from Hashem, why can't it accomplish anything? We have to make a distinction here. I believe I answered it last week. Do not make an error to think that the Dvar Hashem is Chas V'Shalom, Chas V'Chlula, the Avodah Zarah. The element that denies that, what does, he doesn't mean that the Dvar Hashem becomes so mitzumtzum that it denies itself. That's not what it means. The Dvar Hashem becomes so mitzumtzum that it can create a reality, and since that reality was created by a divine energy that is so concealed, that allows for that reality to perceive itself as autonomous, independent, and divorced, to the extent that it can experience itself in war with Hashem. And I should say that experiencing itself in war with Hashem is still a madrega, because when you're fighting with someone, it means he exists. We spoke about it a few times about the Tanakh, the personalities in Tanakh. Some of them might have been very lowly, but they were at least at war with God. He was a serious entity. He was a serious reality. Today we might be at peace with him, because... I won't finish the sentence. Let's learn inside. V'lechein nikri b'shem elikim acherim. 3 lines from the bottom, page 54. It is for this reason too that the Klippas termed other gods. Apart from the reason given above, Alter Rebbe already gave above one reason why Klippas called Elokim Acherim, namely that the Klippas derive their energy and vitality from the Achirayim, from the hind part of Hashem's will. Here, the Alter Rebbe gives the obvious reason why they're called Elokim Acherim. Shehi Avodah Zarah Mamash, for it constitutes actual idolatry, ukfira, ba'achdusei shel melech malchei hamlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a denial of the unity of Hashem, the Supreme King of Kings, the Holy One, blessed be He. Ki me'achar sha'ir v'chayiz d'gdusha hu b'pchines galus b'soicha, for in as much as the light and life of holiness are in a state of exile within the klipa, ein uptela klal legabei kedushas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it does not surrender itself at all to the holiness of Hashem. Ve'adirab, on the contrary, magbiya atzma kineshet, it soars aloft like an eagle. Loi mar to declare, ani va'afsi oit, I am and there is nothing beside me, ukemaimer, or as in the statement, ya'ir liva ani asisini, the river is mine and I have made myself. You never made such a statement. Pare did. We're not blaming you. In the 2 reasons that Alter Rebbe gives why it's termed by Klippas, termed Elokim Acherim, he describes 2 elements. He describes it from the divine perspective, and he describes it from its own perspective. Or to put it differently, in more sharp terms, the first reason confronts the concealment and denies it, or acknowledges that it's a concealment. The first reason pierces through the husk. The second reason is the reason that comes as an outgrowth of the concealment and validates it, in a sense. The first reason is Elokim Acherim. We're calling the most negative of realms and most negative of Klippos and Sitra Acherim Elokim Acherim. Why Elokim Acherim? To say they also come from Elokim. They also have no essence, no identity, no reality outside of Elokim. Everything is something from nothing, and that includes every single thing in the universe. It comes from Elokim, and it's continuously being sustained by Elokim. But Elokim Acherim, the behind part of Elokim, which means this is not the end purpose. It's as if someone is throwing something to his enemy over his shoulders, as discussed last week. And therefore, the energy is so concealed and so obscured that it can give energy and create something which the Dvar Hashem is so concealed in that, that it gives rise for a possible feeling and experience of independence. So in other words, the Alter Rebbe is saying, remember that this is about a concealment. The second reason he gives, they're called the Lekim Acherim, now he attributes it to them, because they have actually become other gods. They assume themselves as ultimate authorities, as deities, as a result of that symptom. But that's the bottom line. And therefore they're called the Lekim Acherim, because there's a kfira, there's a denial, there's Avodah Zarah. But Zarah means idolatry, a denial in Hashem's unity. And this denial could come as a result of the fact that the energy is so in a state of galus that it does not, these realities do not surrender themselves to their own true inner identities and energies. And on the contrary, there can be the declaration of Ani v'afsiyot, I am and there is nothing besides me. Which is a powerful, powerful sense of independence. I am. That's A. Furthermore, there is nothing besides me, which means everything is a mirror of myself, serving from myself, from my own ego, to perpetuate my own identity and so forth. Everything else is an instrument in my service. And here he quotes the Maimer Ya'eli V'Ani Asisini, which is actually a combination of two psukim in Yecheskel, Perek Chavtes, combination of two psukim. It's a statement of para, essentially. The river is mine, referring to the Nile River, the Nilois in Egypt, and I have made myself. This is why the sages of blessed memory said, that arrogance is truly tantamount to idolatry. It's a powerful statement. Gasus haruach is arrogance. Arrogance is a very common feature that characterizes us human beings in this world. So the Gemara tells us in Masichta Saita, Davdalin Amid Beis, Rabbi Yochanan says it actually in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai, that Gasas HaRuach, arrogance, is tantamount to Avodah Zarah. So one possible interpretation is that the Gemara is trying to tell us and to convey to us the terrible negative quality that characterizes arrogance, that it's terrible that we compare it to idolatry. But Alter Rebbe sees in this comparison, not just a comparison to tell us how negative arrogance is, but actually a comparison in content. That Gashas HaRuach has something of the quality of Avodah Zarah in it. It has something of the quality of idolatry. And the question is how? There could be a Jew who davens three times a day. Shachris min chemayrev. He learns Torah and he observes mitzvahs. So much of his life is a testament to Hashem's existence and reality. But nevertheless, he's a gas haruach. He's an arrogant, egotistical, self-inflated human being. So the Gemara says that this gas haruach is tantamount, heaven forbid, Avodah Zarah. So the Alter Rebbe explains, for the essence and root of idolatry, is the fact that a certain being regards itself as an independent entity. That is the essence and the root of Avodah Zarah. Separate from the holiness of Hashem, not necessarily does Avodah Zarah imply an outright denial of Hashem. That's a lower state of Avodah Zarah which evolves from the former state, but that's not what the essence of Avodah Zarah is. As it's stated in Gemara, that they call him the God of gods. And the Gemara defines that also of Avodah Zarah, that although they call Hashem the God of gods, so they call him, they attribute to him the fact that he is the God of gods. The problem is, Ela Shagam Hei Machshivim Atzmam Liyesh V'Davar B'Fnei Atzmai. It's just that they consider themselves too to be separate entities and independent, significant beings. And this the Gemara already defines as Avodah Zarah. And here he's referring to the Gemara at the conclusion of Masechta Benachos. The Gemara quotes in the name of Rav that Mitzur v'at kartagni makirin nes Yisrael v'savim shebashamayim. The nations living from Tzur in the Middle East till Kartagni recognized the Jewish people and their Father in Heaven, which means they do not worship idols, they're not Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, Mitzur klape ma'ariv v'mekartagni klape mizrach ein makirin loyli Yisrael v'lei lavim shebashamayim. From Tzur to the west and from Kartagni to the east, here that acknowledgement ceases to exist. So Reb Simi bar Chi, Reb Simi bar son of Chi asked Rav, the Pasuk says, Ki mimizrach shemesh ad mevoyei gadol shmi bagoyim. In this whole space, from Mizrach, is my name acknowledged among the Gentiles, b'chol makim mugash muktel shmi minchateid, and in every space an offering, a pure offering is presented to my name. So Rav responded to him, Simiat, you are Simi, the great Chachim, that asks me such a question, as Rashi explains. The Karulei Elekad Elekaya. In those places, they define him as the God of gods. And this, Rashi says, is the form of Avodah Zarah that we attribute to them. So in between Tzur and Kartagni, when we say they recognize the Jewish people and their Father in Heaven, the Gemara means that they don't karule alakad alakai. He's Hashem. In the other places where we say they're Evdei Avodah Zarah, why they call him alakad alakai, not they deny him. He's Taka, the God of gods, but I'm also a god. Or there is also other gods under him. So the Alter Rebbe says, this is the source of Avodah Zarah. This is the root of Avodah Zarah. Not total denial in Hashem, but the fact that a person attributes to himself, klipa attributes to itself, an independent, autonomous ego and reality, independent of Hashem, that's the source of Avodah Zarah. Hence, gasus haruach, which is the perpetuation, the psychological perpetuation of that illusion, is shkula k'Avodah Zarah. And Alter Rebbe says, ubazeh with this perception of self-orientation, mafridim es atzma mikdushasi shel makim baruchu.